Welcome to another episode of In the Name of Service, a podcast committed to sharing the untold stories of those who selflessly serve. Each episode features an interview with men and women who have been called to a variety of service-focused roles, such as the military, law enforcement, ministry, volunteering, and more. You aren't likely to know the names of the individuals you meet here, but our hope is by the end of our time together, you'll not only know their stories, but possibly be inspired to write your own in some way. Humble in nature, but strong in character, these everyday men and women showcase what it is to truly be a servant. We're glad you're here. Now here's your host, Dr. Barb Thompson.
Welcome to another episode of In the Name of Service. We're starting our third season here, and I hope this season brings just as much energy as the last two, but I did want to bring some diversity to the podcast this season. And I've just been blessed, actually. Our guest today reached out to me, and I've been able to watch and see what she's doing along with her team. And it's some really incredible and new things. I think that you're going to be really excited for what you hear today. So today we're going to welcome Morgan Borze. She is the co-founder and CEO of Equanima, and they are pioneering digital and physical tools for emotional intelligence and mental wellness. And I've been to all the things. I played around on the website. I've looked at the physical products, and everything is just absolutely beautiful and excellent. So Morgan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Barbara. Thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure to talk a little bit about my experience and Equanima and what we can do with emotional intelligence learning in the world.
Absolutely. So tell us just initially, since most of us are just getting to know you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
I'm always being a visual person. Really striving design. So I got a career in user experience design, building both digital products and also service and experiences. And I found that this career, especially user experience, has so much interconnection with psychology in terms of understanding users' needs, practicing your empathy. So it has been very rewarding to be in this field.
How did you get into the user experience field?
I started with design of image and sound, so mostly audiovisual. But as soon as I got into the interactive part, that's where I was truly amazed of what we could do and what technology could help us do in terms of engagement, of understanding, of bringing into play, which is often something that is missed in the typical traditional education system.
Yes, definitely. So if anyone has seen the posts we've been making and has been to your website and seen what you're doing, from the outside looking in, I mean, it just looks absolutely incredible. Something I wouldn't even, it seems like you've come a long way. Could you take us back a little bit before we talk specifically about what Equanima is doing? And just tell us about your upbringing, like what experiences or relationships you feel like shaped you or helped shape you into the person you are today.
Well, I was raised and born in Peru, Lima, Peru, and I had entrepreneurs' parents. But I had parents that had their own legacy trauma. So I was brought in a household where there was not much room for emotion. There was also a little bit of verbal aggression. And at that point, I couldn't really understand what that meant or what a healthy household means. And in that sense, it drove me to be very intrigued on psychology, on how we can understand the mind. At some point when I was a teenager, I had experience with anxiety and depression. So I think it just fueled my curiosity about this field in particular.
Yeah. And did you ever, what was the point? I know that in our previous conversations, you eventually said, well, maybe this is something that I would like some help with. You reached out and to therapies. But at what point did you feel comfortable doing that?
Well, I've been through therapy almost all my life, like since I was, a kid, then a teenager. But it wasn't until very recently, I would say a couple of years ago, that I found a therapist that was particularly trained in trauma and chronic stress. That really changed a lot of my perspective. My parents were hopefully like very, very open to it. So I think I was very lucky to have found help in that sense. And that's also part of the drivers, because I know that in some households, there is this thing about like psychology, something like maybe like crazy people or,
right.
or weak people.
Right.
So that was part of what also drove me for creating Equanima, because at the end, you want to not have that stigma around psychology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is kind of a strange question, but I know that I've worked with people who have put themselves out there, made themselves vulnerable, and, you know, reached out for therapy or something like that. They didn't necessarily find a provider that fit, and it was very discouraging to them. So I know that it took a while for you to get to the person where the in combination, you know, you guys kind of found your aha moment. Could you just speak to those people who maybe haven't found that provider yet, where things start to click?
I would say don't give up. I think finding the right provider is not an easy feat, but it's worth the dedication and effort. I would say it's really important for the society to start being a little more vocal about mental health issues and the different aspects that it can impact in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much awareness, well, at least now after COVID, about emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And as you may know, emotional intelligence is about self-awareness, body management, emotional management, and then also relationship management. But normally it's not really talked that emotional intelligence, specific in these skills, is highly affected by trauma. So people that have lived through trauma have impaired these skills, have, for example, trouble in self-awareness, trouble in emotional regulation. And unfortunately, we would want to believe that trauma is not common.
Right.
And that is a misconception that I myself had. Because when I first, and I think it's very common, when I first got to my provider, she was referred by my school. I was studying at Parsons, the new school in New York at that point. And she, when I had the first conversation with her, she was like, oh, you know that I'm a psychologist specialist in trauma. Do you think that you need that kind of help? And my first reaction was, well, no. Like, for me, like, I thought that trauma was this, like, one catastrophic event, something really core to your deep, like, but when I started to talk with her, she was explaining that actually being raised up in an environment that felt not safe, where your parents had their own legacy trauma, where you don't felt listened, where your needs were not met, especially when done very repeatedly, important enough what we call like little T trauma, to affect the way that you handle your emotions and what you believe about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important for people to hear, because I think a lot of people wonder why behave in a certain way or think in a certain way or see these certain patterns in their life. And it's really what you're talking about is getting to the core of these little T traumas to know why you might be reacting in this way or that way. And it can really affect change. And like you said, the way that you show up in the world, but also the way that you show up in your relationships.
Yeah, because there's sometimes a lot of behaviors that perhaps some people may feel ashamed of or very critical of. And I think in my own journey in therapy, there was this pivotal point with my therapist where she was showing this chart. It was on a Zoom call in the middle of the pandemic. So she was trying to feed the chart in the screen like this. It was really funny. I mean, it was like a really like a black and white chart, nothing going on about it. But the information was so useful for
so
me.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got my designer mind like, ooh, how can we make this into a whole lesson, which is using design, using narrative And it was the structural dissociation chart where she was going into the responses, the trauma responses or stress responses. So, for example, the fight, the flight, freeze, the submit, the attach. It was very important for me because basically what she was explaining is that these responses that normally serve you to protect you
right.
against danger, when you are in a constant chronic stress, they can become your go-to reaction. So perhaps like if you grow in a household where danger or where there is aggression and you didn't feel hurt, then your go-to could be the flight. So, oh, I want to get out of this, or I want to drink a bottle of wine, or I want to go shopping like for 3 hours in a head. So, and it becomes something that you do automatically. And then without having this understanding, you can be very critical, like, oh, like I spent so much, or I drank a whole lot of wine yesterday and now I have a headache. And what I learned at that point was that this response in core are trying to protect you.
Right.
But are trying to protect you from the past. So from the moment that you were 7 or 6 and you felt unsafe, they see some trigger in the real life, in the present moment, that resembles just a little bit to that moment in the past. And unconsciously, it's like a little girl inside you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for example, like you are driving your car and you are your adult self. You are grounded, and then something happens. And then you have a little you, like a 5-year-old you, like trying to take the wheel. Like saying, like, sure, let's do this. And tries to drive the car, but it's like a 5-year-old driving the car. And it's
you don't want that.
You don't want that. So you can say, or you can let her drive the car, which is like going into full reactive mode, letting the old patterns come to life. Or you can say, like, I know it looks familiar to you, but I'm here and I can
right.
handle it in more
mm-hmm.
positive way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that example. I also love the very practical but damaging examples you use of the flight response can look a lot of different ways, like the bottle of wine or, you know, either online shopping or going shopping. Like you are trying to fill a need with something that's not going to fill it, number one, but probably also going to add some difficulty to your life. This just popped up as you were talking for me. I mean, obviously, I'm a psychologist, so I've been trained in a lot of these things, but it doesn't mean that it's easy for anyone or that it comes naturally for anyone if you don't take the time and take a deeper look into it. The tools that you are working on make that easy and it makes it make sense. But I know that one experience for me that has helped, I believe, in just reflecting, like, where is my kind of adult grounded self and where are my kind of triggered emotions and reactions coming up is when my husband has been deployed in the past and we've been away from one another. You know, there's been a lot of time and distance between conversations. And so for me, even though I was having like emotional reactions on my own that I would want to normally share in the moment with a person, I would have to like sit on those for a little bit. And it was a great opportunity to think about, well, like, why would I tell him about it in this way? You know, like, how might he think about it? How might he feel about it? And so it, in essence, really got me in touch with my own needs and how I was responding and reacting in communication with my husband. To either get those or serve his needs. Anyway, so that was just one example for me. I think that it was an experience in life, a difficult one, but it was helpful because it put more time in between that kind of stimulus and response where I was forced to reflect on those examples that you're talking about. You know, you're under stress and all these little yous come up thinking they know what's best for you. And it may not be the case. But so what would you say is the value of getting these things out to the world so that in a moment, you know, 1,000 words and difficult concepts just make so much sense to a person?
Well, language is the basic tool for understanding.
Yeah.
People may overlook how much, for example, a solid emotional vocabulary is for not only self-awareness, but also expression. Because in your example, you talk about two different things. You talk about, okay, what are my needs, my emotions? And this will be the self-awareness part. And then how can I express them better?
Mm-hmm.
Which is another part.
Mm-hmm.
And both of these parts actually serve from language, from having the word to really understand your experience. Because if your vocabulary goes from like, I feel great to I feel awful,
right,
then there is not much nuance, there is not much accuracy and precision, because at the end, what we're trying to do at Equanima is that people also understand that emotions, especially unpleasant emotions, are not a bad thing.
Right.
They actually serve as communicators of our unmet needs. So instead of trying to ignore them or to repress them or to complain about them, it's actually much, much more important to listen to them and say, okay, what is the need behind this? Perhaps if I felt frustrated, I needed appreciation, understanding, connection. And once you find this connection, then you can do something about it. And this is perhaps expressing, in your case, with your husband, like, actually, I felt disappointed because I was needing connection, or whatever the emotion and the need was. And it actually helps to build much more healthy relationships in life.
Yes, absolutely. And relationships are everything. I mean, when you look at any longitudinal study on human happiness or even mortality, it's the quality, not necessarily the quantity, but the quality of our relationships that can predict, you know, how happy we'll be in life and how long we'll live. So that's really, really powerful. What
yes,
do you think
totally.
Building something like this? I mean, first of all, I love it. Like, every project that I've ever done has been most successful when I partner with someone from a different career field, if that makes sense. So psychology, there's a lot of goodness in it, and there's constant research, you know. So there's a lot of goodness in it. Not all of it gets out. And even the stuff that does get out isn't very palatable sometimes. Like, it's boring. It doesn't make sense. So even though the goodness is known by a few people, sometimes it's hard translating into something that's usable for someone just living, you know, their everyday life, who's maybe, you know, interested in a good life, but not necessarily learning every psychological principle out there. I just appreciate that you've combined a lot of things. What do you think has been most challenging in building Equanima?
I think when you have this kind of dream of making an impact, it's a lot to you that it's too risky. Or if you, for example, have a good career and a good job, it's like, oh, you already have like a good income, like, why risk that? And this is something that I think it's important to be really connected with your values and why are you doing the things that you do. Because in this society, there is like too much of a norm of what will the steps to happiness be. So
yes.
It's like, okay, have a career, a good paying job, and then they get married, kids, buy a house. And sometimes, like, it can be easy because it's like a recipe. You just follow the steps and you'll be there, you know?
Yeah.
But then, like, there is at some point in life where you find, or you may find that maybe that you have a niche, you know? Like, like, I need something more. And I feel like a lot of people can, when having this feeling, can be confused because, like, they can think themselves as selfish. Which I don't think it's true, because like some people may say, like, you already have all of these things. Why are you happy with your life? You know, you should be more appreciative of the things that you have. And I think appreciation is good. But when you have those values that drive you, it's important to be connected with them, because at the end, this itch is your body trying to tell you something that is missing.
Right.
It's really good to listen to your body and understand that sometimes to really get the fulfillment, you have to get out of your comfort zone and do something that perhaps seems risky, but that may bring you much more joy and much more sense of purpose.
Yeah. How have you personally dealt with the feedback that maybe what you're doing isn't best for you.
I take a parts approach, because when I get this feedback, it's most likely that one of my parts would get reactive.
Yeah, yeah.
So I try to stay very curious, because there is a lot of things about our thought, you know, like it's almost inevitable that when we face some criticism, there is some thoughts that one will come out, like, oh, you see, you won't do this, you will fail, and nobody will love you. And there is a whole set of belief systems, both healthy and unhealthy. So the first step is understanding from these thoughts, where do these thoughts come from?
Yeah.
Are they coming from my grounded adult self? Or they are coming from a flight part, from a submit part? And then things start getting easier, because you start not to get critical with yourself. So instead of having an inner conversation, say like, you cannot do it. No, I think I can do it now, but you really are, you're a mess, or you won't be able to have the commitment or the strength. So knowing where these thoughts are coming from and remaining curious, asking the part, okay, so you think you will fail. What are you trying to protect me from this failure? What's going to happen?
Right.
If you fail, nobody will love you. And then like you will end up alone. And then you can start to understand what are the belief systems of each of these parts of yourself and start to challenge them. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I don't believe that love comes from achievement.
Right.
Know? Love should come from the fact that you're a human being and
that's right.
Who you are and not what you do, you know.
Right.
So I think that part is critical. And having a lot of fun and purpose feeling at Equanima when creating the characters of this part, because we created really cute characters for each of the fight, the flight. So the fight is a tiger. The flight is a seagull, the submit is a little bunny, the freeze is a deer. And in creating these characters, it's like, how can people reconnect with this part and look at them with more compassion?
Yes.
Like, look at them as they were this little kid that wanted to protect you and took the wheel of your life, but at the end came from a sincere place of wanting to relieve you from pain, from suffering. So I would say, stay curious, stay compassionate to your own inner thought.
Right. Such good advice. Yeah. I've looked at the cards and they are so nice. Even just having a nice, short, easy to understand definition of the emotion along with the picture, has been so helpful, even for me. I'm a psychologist, but I have children, you know, who I want to, when they're young, you know, and so having a way to easily communicate and demystify the things that are going on in our head and our body and what that means about our behavior it's kind of a lifesaver. And it can build confidence, I've seen as well in my own children, even if the situation doesn't change at all. But their ability to navigate the situation, they feel like they have a bit more like a sense of control, or they even just base level, they kind of understand what's going on. I've seen that they have confidence to now face the situation rather than avoid, you know, or do all of the other, you know, behaviors that you've been talking about. So I would just really hope that people go and your website, see what kind of products are on there. What have you learned as you've created these things, either from the responses of people or kind of your own experience with it? What are you learning along the way?
Well, these cards actually started like a project of my own in my free time with my husband, because of that difficulty to express my own emotions. So I started not envisioning as a business or a startup, but as a tool for myself and for my close ones.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I learned through this is like, how can we take these abstract things in our head that may feel like a tight chest or like a headache or like sweaty palms, and okay, let's put it into a brainstorm format. And as I mentioned, I'm very visual, so I was starting to develop the cards so we can visually say, okay, what is the emotion? Is perhaps disappointment or I feel shame or I feel guilty. And then when you can get exact, like, okay, so what's the need behind?
Right.
Was I needing? So, and then the body signals, and we start creating all of these cards from the needs, the body signals, the interpretation as well, which was something that actually had a lot of impact, because in this emotional talk about the vocabulary, sometimes we do mistake the words of emotions with the interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually are giving away the possible empathy that a person could have towards us.
Yes, yes.
By using an interpretation. So, for example, if I say to you, like, oh, Barbara, I felt abandoned or mistreated or insulted, this may feel like feeling, but are actually interpretations of
right.
your behavior
right.
towards me.
Right.
And when using those words, what I'm doing is I'm blocking empathy, because you are probably going to get defensive. Like, oh, Morgana,
sure.
I didn't abandon you. I didn't insult you. And this is going to block the empathy, because at the end, if I'm trying to express my feelings, what I would, my aim is for you to understand a little bit of what's going inside me,
mm-hmm.
not try to block with defensiveness. And we have a lot of this language in our world, because we are taught in a system that is very evaluative. Who is right? Who is wrong? You know,
mm-hmm.
what's true? What's false? And at Equanima, when we talk about language, we want to, for people of all ages, to have these tools for building that language, because fortunately now it's getting more common for kids to have social emotional learning, but for the adults that didn't get that from school or are not fortunate enough to go to therapy or have a coach, then what's up for them? What tools can they use to improve that language so they can communicate in a way that actually encourages empathy and conflict resolution, which is such an important issue in relationships in life,
mm-hmm.
to have repair their conflict, to find common ground, understanding. And this is something that is a fundamental goal that emotional intelligence training has. That it's not only for you and your self-awareness, but it's actually going to impact the relationship and the quality of relationship that you have in your life, your own assertiveness, your own capability of understanding where are your values, what are your needs. And instead of demanding things from people, stating the needs and finding a collaborative way so we can both discuss
mm-hmm.
and then find a better solution so that both needs are fulfilled.
Right. Yeah. And you actually are learning about the other person rather
mm-hmm.
than just trying to defend your actions or promote your actions or be right or wrong. It's so much more fulfilling type of connection. Anyway, so let's say that someone has really connected with your story. And there's so much more. I mean, you've lived and studied and worked all around the world. I know that you have 1,000 more stories, but even with what our listeners have heard today, you know, that they connect with something that you've said, and they also have an itch, as you said, to make a difference in the world. You know, there's something maybe keeping them up at night, but they just don't know yet how or where to get started. What would your advice be for them?
I would say really understand those needs and values that are driving this. And this comes with being authentic instead of just going on the typical route that society tells you to go. So if you have this itch, what is the value behind? Perhaps you need some purpose. Perhaps you need challenge. Perhaps you need adventure. Perhaps
mm-hmm.
you need community.
Mm-hmm.
So get in touch with that need. And then even if your goal is small or big, ambitious, start with little steps toward it. Because once you start going into a more fulfilling life, when you approach your dreams, even if it's risky, even if it takes you out of your comfort zone, by being a more fulfilled person, you are going to be able to bring that joy to others.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's very important. You're going to get out of the street with a smile and be contagious to other people and say, like, ooh, like, I don't know, this person just like bring me like such a good vibe, you know? And this is because people are really fulfilled, are really in tune with their own values and needs. So sometimes for people, it may be like they may confuse comfort with happiness. Like, oh,
so
I have
good.
A stable paycheck.
Right.
I have like all the things that society tells me that I need in order to be happy. And perhaps this is happiness and I should conform, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, listen to your body. Your
mm-hmm.
body will know. And don't think of self as selfishness. Think about it as being truthful, being authentic to yourself and purchasing those needs and purchasing those values with courage, with authenticity.
Yeah. Did you have a specific exercise that you've done in order to become more familiar and gain clarity on your own values? Or did that just come over time as you examined your itches?
Well, this is a lot of practice. I practice a lot with the cards, the values cards, the emotion cards. And it is something that is not static. It's changing. So it's not like one time you said like, okay, my value is this and I will pursue this.
That's
and
it.
Then like
right.
A year later, you're like, I feel like this is my call and this is my calling. These things change, but the first thing you need to do is be attuned to your body. Be attuned to what it's saying about your life, your expectations. And this is the first step that sometimes with this society, it's like we are actually learning to disconnect. It's like, oh, like no pain, no gain, like sleep
right.
is for the weak. All these mantras that are telling you like to turn off your body and to go around pursuing some external thing.
Yeah.
But actually your body is your ally.
Mm-hmm.
So listen closely and it will tell you if you are in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I've worked with someone in particular who was feeling very just tired all the time. Inexplicably just worn out. And then as we started to get into, we did a values exercise, and this person had tried all different kinds of like working out more and changing their diet and trying to get more sleep at night. And it was still just like, it ended up being the work that they were filling their day with was so unfulfilling that it had just kind of taken all of them at that point. And when they changed trajectory, they started to feel different things. Like there is maybe, like you said, a bit of fear of facing risk, facing something new. The energy was back and the joy was back and the excitement was back. Just an example. I didn't think of that, you know, before, but I've certainly seen it in people that I've worked with as they, it's kind of scary, you know, going against the grain.
It is. And it's okay to be scared. And
right.
It's totally fine to be scared.
Yes.
And that's something that also people like, oh, if I feel scared, I should stop. Like, no, not necessarily. Like, it means that you're going out of your comfort zone. And that may be a good thing, because perhaps things that are not necessarily comfortable at the short term will make such an impact in your life that you will see back and you say like, oh, actually, you know, starting was really hard. And it certainly was for me. It's not like, tomorrow I'm going to start Equanima and it was like, oh, joy. And no,
right,
the start was really hard.
Right.
And I felt really lost. I felt like, I don't know if I should pursue this, like too much risk. I was scared.
Yes.
But I got also a lot of basically motivation from my partner, who also my husband, who has been on my back all the time, making me feel inspired. And I'm also very appreciative of that. So if you can have people in your life that also pursue you and want to see you happy and are really healthy relationships that bring you, like, that make you closer to your own authentic self.
Right.
That's actually great. That's super important.
So where can people find you?
So they can find us at our website. So we have a website, www.equanima.io. And also we have learning lessons on emotional intelligence and all of this that we're talking at our Instagram page. We have also TikTok, equanima.io. And yes, we are also really close to the launch of our beta mobile app. for emotional intelligence learning. You can find all sorts of interactive experiences and quizzes in our website as well, if you are more interested in understanding a little more about yourself, in building that vocabulary. And again, it's something that it's useful at all ages. So not only for young or not only for people that may seem like, oh, I know a lot, I have a very strong vocabulary. Now, you can always learn more. You can always be more accurate. You can always learn more about your values if you spend some time looking at this with more mindfulness.
I agree. And I have been to the website and I've played around with Moodly. Is that the game?
Moodful, yeah.
Moodful, yes. Yes, thank you. Played with that. And there's a blog also that's on your website. You've got a page for a blog with really, really great articles that take less than 5 minutes to read. Like the aha moments are, everything is so simply stated that it gives you a very good understanding of, you know, the neuroscience behind emotional intelligence or practical tips for increasing emotional intelligence. So I've already been impacted. I find it very useful. I'll be sharing. And I know that all of our listeners will find it useful as well. So thank you so much for your time. And thank you for taking the leaps of faith that you have to get you to this point in life. I know that you are impacting the world. I just want to thank you for being brave and serving in the way that you do.
Thank you, Barbara, so much. It has been a pleasure talking to you today.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another incredible episode of In the Name of Service. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like and subscribe. And of course, feel free to share with those you feel would like to be inspired. Have a difference maker in your life that you'd like to see featured? Reach out to Dr. Barb Thompson at inthenameofservice@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.